Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Leaving behind now the section in 1 John chapter 2 on the subject of worldliness, we come to an entirely different topic. In verses 18 and 19, we come to something I would like to call disappointing departures, lessons about people who drop out of church. And that's one of the most difficult situations for Christians, fellow church members that they have interacted with, fellowshipped with, loved, and participated with in the life of the church, and then for some reason, often unknown, those people drop out. They leave the church for no apparent reason. Or sometimes a reason is given, but it makes very little sense. And oftentimes no reason is offered. And then occasionally a sound reason is given that is clearly understandable and reasonable. But so many times you have people that are dropping out of church who really don't have a sound reason. I'm sure you've already heard that little ditty, I suppose you'd call it, that says that whenever anybody leaves a church, it's always for three reasons. Three reasons, yes. The reason they tell the pastor, the reason that they tell their friends, and then the real reason. And that is often the case. And the Apostle John deals with this in today's text, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Now, this particular text doesn't answer all the questions about departures from church, but it does answer some. And the ones that it does answer, we need to understand, because that will help us a great deal. So that's our direction for today, Tuesday, April 10. Please gather around the Word of God as we talk about this text. And please remember that we are dependent upon the financial gifts of God's people. Now, here's the text in question. Verse 19 of chapter 2 of 1 John, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Perhaps you've heard that text before, perhaps you haven't. Perhaps you've heard that text misused in the past, and you're a little bit leery of it, and I've heard it misused myself, so I wouldn't blame you for that concern, but as we examine it carefully in the light of the context, I believe we can come to a proper, a truthful, a correct, and God-honoring understanding and application of this text. And it actually begins with verse 18, which I did not read, but I will in a moment, because that truly and clearly is the context for verse 19, the one that I did read. So now I back up and read verse 18. 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Let's sort through these two verses to learn about people who drop out of church. Verse 18 is a warning. Verse 19 is an explanation. The warning begins with a tender address, "little children," sometimes translated "young children," as it is in verse 13 of the same chapter. but it's a general term of affection for all professing believers, and often when John has something strong to say, some warning or rebuke, in this case a warning, he often prefaces it with this kind of endearing language. It's like saying, "Dearly beloved, I have something I need to talk to you about. I need to talk to you straight. I need to talk to you like a father to his child. And there may be some things here that some of you will find difficult to receive, but I pray that you will be able to receive them for your own good and for the good of the church. But dear ones, dearly beloved, please understand that like a father who must do these things sometimes because he loves his children. So please understand that I, the Apostle John, love you dearly, those of you that I'm addressing this to." And that would be the same attitude that a pastor would have in addressing something that is difficult to his congregation. Verse 18 again, "Little children, a tender address." The second thing I note in verse 18, before we get into the words of the warning, is an interesting theological perspective, because John says, "Little children, it is the last hour." The last hour. Now, how are we to understand that phrase? If we want to press every word in Scripture to its ultimate literal meaning, then we'd have a real problem with this one, because we all know that literally an hour is 60 minutes. What is the last hour, the last period of 60 minutes? Well, clearly John is not using the phrase that way. He's using it in a figurative way. When he says the last hour, he's really talking about the last period of time. And it turns out, and you can check this out and study it for yourself, but for now, perhaps I can just declare it to you, and you can perhaps take my word for it or study it for yourself as you please. But this is basically the same thing as saying the last days. Little children, we are in the last days. But instead, John says, little children, it is the last hour. Now, what are the last days? That phrase, which is more common than this one, the last hour, is a phrase that is sometimes misunderstood by God's people, because many people think of the last days as the last days. Again, probably more than just days, meaning a few days out of a week, a few 24-hour days, but nevertheless, the last period prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. But a careful study of that phrase in the New Testament will cause you to understand that the term last days actually applies to all of the days since the coming of Christ. It's a big period. It's a big era, which now has gone on for more than 2,000 years. We are in the last days. Sometimes people say, "I really believe we're in the last days," and generally by that they mean those last few days before the coming of Christ. In other words, I believe that the coming of Christ is very, very soon. I think he's coming quickly. I believe that the signs are being fulfilled. We're coming to the last period before the coming of Christ. We are living in the last days, meaning the last few days before Christ returns. Well, the Bible teaches us that we ought to be looking for the second coming of Christ. We ought to be longing for it. We ought to be expecting it. There's nothing wrong with believing that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. That's exactly what we should believe. There's nothing wrong with believing that Jesus Christ may very well come in my lifetime. That's exactly what we ought to believe and how we ought to live, and that will affect our behavior. But the truth of the matter is that term the last days applies to the whole period of time from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ. All of that is the last days, in contrast with the days before Christ came, which are the former days. We're talking about big sweeps of history, big periods of God's working. And the last days are all of the days between the first and the second coming of Christ. And this phrase, the last hour, also fits into that same category. It's really a synonymous term with the term the last days. And Note that John says, little children, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. And when did he write that? In the first century A.D. And he called that the last hour. Or, if I'm correct in what I have just told you, he could also have just as accurately said, the last days. The last hour. John called the days in which he was writing the last hour. Now, was John looking for the return of Jesus Christ during his lifetime? I wouldn't be at all surprised if he was. I'm telling you again, that's exactly the way the Bible encourages us to think. But it also encourages us to understand that nobody knows when Christ will return. We should expect him at any time. We should be looking for him eagerly at all times. We should be living in the light of his second coming as if it may be today or tomorrow. Or sometime very soon, but also recognizing that it may not be, because here is the Apostle John talking about the last hour in the day in which he wrote in the first century, and now 2,000 years have passed, and Jesus Christ has not yet returned. And so please understand that the term the last hour or the last days refers to the entire period between Christ's two advents. There really is nothing that remains, as far as we know, before Christ could return. Now, there may be a lot of things that have to transpire before God, that God knows, before it will be time for Christ to return. Because Christ is not going to return until all of God's people have been saved. Now, that phrase probably sounds strange to some of you, but again, the Bible would encourage us to think that God has people that have not yet been saved. When Paul was in Corinth and was ministering there, and Christ came to him in the night and said, please, and I'm paraphrasing now, keep on ministering faithfully, Paul, because I have many people in this city. In other words, don't leave now. Don't stop now. All of my people in the city have not yet been saved. So keep preaching the gospel, because I still have many people in this city, many more than have already come to Christ. They are Christ people. He's already identified them as his. They are going to come into union with Christ. They are going to come to faith in Christ. Through the preaching of the gospel, which is God's appointed way, that's the way they will come. Paul needs to continue preaching the gospel so that they will come, but they're already Christ's people. Now, this is another term for the elect. Now, only God knows who they are and how many there are, and Christ will return when all of the elect, all the chosen people of God, have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ will return. How many more are there who have not yet come to faith in Christ? How many more of those are there who have not yet been born? We don't know. We can't possibly know. We're not supposed to know. It makes no difference to what we do. We faithfully preach the gospel and leave that up to God the Holy Spirit. So we don't know what must yet transpire before Jesus Christ returns. But we are in the last days. We are in the last hour. And we need to be ready for the coming of Christ at any time. And we need to be working faithfully, that he will find us busy and faithful when he comes. And we need to know that he could come today. Would you be ready? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.